This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. American forces in Iraq's volatile Anbar province have a new ally, Sunni tribal sheikhs. Angered by the brutal attacks by al-Qaeda, these traditional leaders are now ordering their men to join the Iraqi security forces. And as NPR's Tom Bowman reports, they are the driving force behind a new armed group.
It's payday for the Iraqi 2nd Battalion. A sergeant calls the roll. A long line snakes through this dusty camp just north of Ramadi, the provincial capital, toward a crumbling brick building where stacks of dinars sit on a desk. They are young and old. Some wear Western-style knit caps, others Arab headscarves. They are in mismatched uniforms, camouflage army shirts, blue jogging pants. They only have two things in common. They are all Sunni, and they carry the AK-47 assault rifle. This is the new emergency response unit, 750 strong. As many as 8 of these units are being created to patrol Anbar province. The commanding officer is Colonel Dawood Ibrahim, a one-time army officer and farmer. He is a lean man in a worn leather jacket. They are all here because of orders from their tribal leaders.
Yes, it's most certainly true that it was the sheikhs who called for the formation of these battalions.
Many of the sheikhs once worked with al-Qaeda militants, or at least tolerated their presence. But when some sheikhs tentatively reached out to the Americans, al-Qaeda's reaction was swift and deadly. Sheikhs were murdered. Even their children were targeted, beheaded, and delivered to the family doorstep.
And they assassinated a lot of the sheikhs of the time.
Sheikh Ahmed Abu Risha and his family live in Ramadi and lead the Abu Risha tribe.
They killed my father. And they killed 3 of my brothers. They killed 14 other sheikhs from different tribes.
Al-Qaeda also hurt the sheikhs financially, muscling into their oil smuggling operations. Finally, these Sunni tribal leaders had enough. Some 2 dozen sheikhs banded together late last year in what they called the Awakening. They signed a document pledging to destroy Al-Qaeda, and they said any attack by Al-Qaeda on the Americans was considered an attack on the tribes.
The insurgents had the upper hand in Al-Anbar, and we decided that we must put our hand together and fight, defeat these criminals.
But Al-Qaeda militants are not the only ones fighting U.S. troops here. Insurgent attacks continue with grim results. Since the beginning of February, at least 16 American troops have died in combat in Anbar province. Another of the tribal leaders is Sheikh Awad Ali Hussein of the Abu Thiab tribe, spread through the rural Jazeera area just north of the city. He sits in his living room and gestures toward family photographs on the wall.
Two of my brothers have been killed. We wanted to wage a war against terrorism in the Jazeera area.
He is among those ordering his family and members of his tribe to join the Iraqi army and the Iraqi police, known widely as the IA and IP.
Of my family, we have 32 volunteers, IA, IP. 3 of my children who have graduated from college, they work as IPs.
That effort has led to a surge in recruitment, especially for the Iraqi police. There were about 100 police at Ramadi last year. Now there are around 4,000. The Iraqi police and these new emergency response units bring what Americans don't have, a detailed knowledge of the people. They can pinpoint the Anbar citizens fighting the Americans. They can pick out a foreign fighter. Hussein and Abu Risha say their alliance with the Americans has crippled al-Qaeda in Anbar province. Many have been killed or captured, others scattered.
And we think there is nothing left but 30% of them in al-Anbar. And it's only in few little areas.
That may be optimistic. Cities like al-Qaim near the Syrian border have seen a marked decrease in attacks. Even sections of Ramadi, a city once synonymous with violence, are slowly turning around. But other cities in the province are still plagued with attacks. Heat to the west and Haditha to the north. Fallujah to the east has seen an increase in violence and intimidation. Senior American officers say the partnership with the tribes is significant. They hope it will allow them to finally defeat al-Qaeda after several years of bloody stalemate. Lieutenant General Ray Odierno is a day-to-day ground commander in Iraq.
What is happening is over the last several months, I would say 70% of the tribes have started working in a very robust way with the Marine Corps out here in the West. And what that has been able us to do is join together with the populace of Al-Anbar to fight against the Al-Qaeda insurgents here.
Odierno and other officers say the Sheikh's armed support will allow the Americans to shift their forces, focusing on the insurgent supply lines coming in from Syria or training camps in the more remote desert areas. Still, some American officers are privately wary of the mercurial sheikhs. They worry about the growing power of the Sunni sheikhs within the police force. That could lead to more friction with a Shiite-dominated government in Baghdad. Abu Risha and the other sheikhs have little confidence in Baghdad. They complain the capital does not send the necessary reconstruction money. The government has not set a date for provincial elections. And Abu Risha says the real security problem in the country rests with the Shiite militias, not the Sunni insurgency.
As long as the militias are out there, I think there will never be any reconciliation.
Major General Rick Zillmer just stepped down as a top Marine commander in Anbar. He has heard the concerns about the sheikhs becoming a shadowy military force. He says the new emergency units will answer to Iraq's Interior Ministry, which is in charge of all police forces in the country.
Any sort of organization potentially runs at risk if it's not held in check. But again, this is an organization that has vowed its loyalty to the government of Iraq.
Colonel Ibrahim, the commander of the Emergency Response Unit, brushes aside a question about sectarian tensions. He works closely with the Iraqi army, largely a Shiite organization.
We have no problems with them, and the fact that we meet with them in conferences, as you see, it shows that we have no problems with them. Our purpose is one. We are military.
The colonel then leads his men on a patrol, past children tending sheep and toward a main highway leading to Jordan. He says they have captured some 24 Al-Qaeda members since the beginning of the year, some of them along this main roadway. The patrol heads back to camp, where 19-year-old Ibrahim Muhammad Abraham waits for his pay.
I've joined to protect my people and my tribe.
Abraham was a student at a teacher's college. He recalls being approached by Islamic radicals encouraging him and his friends to join their fight.
They used to come to us and speak of religion, and they come to us.
As he talks, a mortar explodes just outside their camp.
We've just heard a mortar in the neighborhood exploded, and they are asking their men to disperse.
The men scatter for cover. Payday for this new unit will have to wait. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Ramadi.